Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
It is my great honor to welcome Dr. David Corson and three of his students from the Fritz Noble School of Hospitality Management at the University of Denver today. It's been my great honor to work with this school and David for the last 5 years, but we've actually known each other for over 40. So I can only say that with this guest. And today we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about this amazing jewel of a school that David is the director of. We're going to talk about a collaboration that Compassionate Leaders Circle has with David and the school, the Fritz Leadership Symposium. And we're going to talk about the future of hospitality. And we have three amazing special guests with us who were voted by their classmates to represent the class for this project. We have Jessica Bryan, Ansha Sankla, and Henna Kim. Very happy to have you all. Did I pronounce your names correctly?
You did. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
The hardest thing I'm going to do today is done. welcome, welcome. David, let's start with you. I would love for you to introduce our listeners and readers to your school and your history with the school.
Absolutely. So I'll start with my history, because I think it informs kind of who we are and what we do and what's important to us. My first career after you and I left undergrad was in the restaurant business. I ran restaurants in New York City. And I realized when I was owning and operating my own restaurant in Midtown Manhattan, that the most important thing that I did was create a humane workplace where people could bring their whole selves to work, they could earn a living wage, and they could feel safe. And it was my experience that most people who managed in hospitality did not do that, that they expected their teams to and they didn't think of them really, most people, as teams, as employees, to what I would consider dignifying guests, whether in a hotel or in a restaurant. And yet they would derogate the people they were expecting to turn around and then treat their guests completely differently. So I had that epiphany, and I realized that you can't spell hospitality without hostility, which is how most people managed. And I think many still do. And that caused me to realize that I could have a bigger impact by helping young people to create humane workplaces. And that in order to do that, I needed to be teaching. And so I went back to grad school. And this is the fifth place I've taught. And it's the best place I've taught. And it's the best place for a number of reasons. One, I think it's really important, and these are not necessarily in order of importance. I think it's really important to study hospitality where there is some. Denver is an amazing market. We have a great urban hotel and restaurant scene and world-class resorts close by. Two, these students are my favorite student audience I've ever worked with. They're as smart as any I've ever worked with. And frankly, they're nicer people than most. And they are ready to roll up their sleeves and do the work of the industry. This school, our vision is be bold, do good, change lives. And that comes in part from where I come from philosophically. And I've surrounded myself with a team that is completely bought in, everybody rowing in the same direction. I've had the unbelievable good fortune. I'm in my 17th year in this role, and I don't know how that's possible. But in that time, I've been able to hire or promote or both everybody on my team. And that means I've nurtured a culture, and we all deliver on that. And I think the students would agree that what's important to us shows through.
Well, I certainly see it as one of your partners. And this particular class, of which we have three today, has gone through a lot with the school and the world. You know, I as before I got on with you all today, I thought about, you know, you entered school during COVID. You've lived through, while studying hospitality, this disruption and maybe the blow up of our industry. We now have two wars going on. So you've gone through a lot with each other at this school. And I don't want to talk about the difficulties. I want to switch over and talk about the highlights. So I'm interested in hearing from the three students, maybe a favorite class or favorite activity, or, you know, tell me a little bit about your experience at the school and what's been, you know, maybe a happy memory or a great experience for you. So anyone can start that's ready.
I can start. That's
yeah, okay. Great, Jess. Go ahead.
Yeah. So personally, I really love our LEAD mentorship program. And so LEAD, we have peer-to-peer and professional mentorship as well. And so, I mean, coming into the school, originally I didn't really know too many of my peers. And so really having that peer-to-peer mentorship program helped not only kind of establish what it's like to have a mentor and be a mentee, but also really introduced me to people within my own grades and from higher like classes as well. And so that was really beneficial. And then I was actually able to partake in the professional mentorship LEAD program my sophomore year, which honestly, like, it was the best decision I've made so far, like, in my Fritz experience. I had a mentor that year who really helped me in navigating my experience here at Fritz and also just kind of opening up my view of the hospitality industry and really building those connections with mentors and networking is so important. And so I feel like that's really good to learn here.
Amazing. Ansha, what about you?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, yeah, just like you said, coming into college and having a big life transition during COVID was surreal. It was definitely something that was hard to navigate. But I think coming to DU was the perfect choice. And I didn't initially come here as a hospitality management major. I came here as a real estate major, but I was in the business school. And when I was looking at all of the different business degrees and offerings that we had, I think I looked at hospitality and instantly stopped searching because of everything I saw on the website, but also when I came in and met with Lauren, it was embodied. It was Lauren's our academic advisor, but it wasn't just like a front or something that you saw or heard to be preached. I really felt a sense of community within the hospitality school. And I will say it took me a while to get out of my comfort zone and start, you know, building these new relationships. But I think every quarter and every year that I've had with my peers has just gotten better and better. And senior year is definitely the peak of it. And the event that we did with you guys, with the Compassionate Leader Circle, the Fritz Leadership Symposium was insane. I think the connections that I made and the things that I heard about my classmates really put everything in just such shed just a different light on everything. And I wish I had like four more years with all of them, but that was definitely one really good highlight. And I did also want to speak on a favorite class. The hotel and resort management class was personally one of my favorites because I learn more hands-on and by doing things rather than just
having things taught to me in a classroom. So I think that class was kind of the first class where we were sent out to like go undercover almost in a hotel of our choosing and like perform all these tasks, like ask them for towels and see how long it takes you to bring them. And, you know, at the end of it, we wrote a report for the GM, whether they wanted to read it or not, we wrote one. But I think that was just such a cool experience and like just goes to show it's not just like theory and like hearing about things. I really enjoy the hands-on aspect of like what I've been able to do throughout my time here. And that's just one example of it.
Yeah. Hospitality is really a lot about a lot of details and getting them right. Right.
Sure is.
Hannah, how about you?
Yeah. So my experience with Fritz has been a roller coaster, all in a good way. If I had to point out a class, I personally would say managing human capital. And this is because this class was a grind. I have not grinded so hard for a class in my entire life until I got to managing human capital. And this is because we worked with refugees and worked hand in hand with Ready for American Hospitality, correct me if I'm wrong, David, but we got to work with refugees and personally go train them to be ready for the hospitality industry after they graduate from their program. So there was a lot of pressure in trying to make sure that they will be okay as soon when they get hired and go out into the real world. But that class has personally affected me in a way where it made me want to continue being in the hospitality industry in the future. And it made me want to strive to keep on inspiring, like how I inspired the two refugees that I had the pleasure of mentoring through, I believe, a 4 or 5 week period. And it was just honestly like a once in a lifetime kind of deal. And you don't get that with a lot of programs anywhere else, really. But that class definitely stuck out to me the most, I would say.
So Laurel, not coincidentally, both the classes that were mentioned are taught by the same faculty member.
They all,
this is not on purpose either. This is purely
would you like to tell us who that is?
Sure. That's Sherry Young, who I know since my PhD program. And she is both my colleague and my wife.
And I know her as well and admire her so much and am familiar with the human capital class, which I think is something that should be taught in every business school, in every program. Amazing. So let's shift over to our partnership.
Sure.
So David and Sherry and I have been talking about these issues of being better teachers and helping the world be better for a long time. And we were able to cook this up, the Fritz Leadership Symposium. So we just completed our 5th year. And David, I'd like to hear from you, and then I think even more importantly from the students, what that experience, maybe you can speak to, you know, sort of the whole 5 years and what that experience has been for you and the school, and they can talk specifically about what it was like for them as participants.
Sure. I want to provide just a tiny bit of context. The Fritz Leadership Symposium is embedded in a course that I teach every fall for seniors. That's called the Distinguished Lecture Series. Senior executives from industry come in. And it's the launchpad class for the hiring cycle as students go out to acquire their first professional positions. And it was important to me that we set our students up in a way that would provide the maximum opportunity for them to be successful and think about the things that are most important to them and in how to build a career and in how to live a meaningful life. Our friendship enabled a conversation around that. And then you pitched the idea of doing the symposium. And me knowing the work that you're doing with CLC, it made it seem like it would be a really good fit. And what has happened over the 5 years of this partnership is that we've gone beyond hitting our collective stride in this program. We're now racing at full speed. I think what you did this year with our seniors was more extraordinary than it has been in the past. And part of that I attribute to you and your team evolving the program and your thinking around it. And part of it definitely was this group of seniors who were so willing to risk and so and be so vulnerable with each other and with us that it was incredibly humbling and touching to me.
Yeah, it was a very special year. And I also have to give credit to all the other students in the first 4 years that were not bashful with their feedback. So they helped this year be the best year. And we also went through COVID. So 1 year we taught with masks and 1 year we taught online, which was very difficult. And I'm so glad that we stuck with it and it's just been so wonderful. And yes, this of course was a special, vulnerable, open class. So Ancha, I want to start with you. I'd love to hear your experience of this program, what it was like for you. And if you don't mind, I'd like you to speak to also the community building, which you touched on earlier, you know, what was a highlight for you and how do you think the program helped you build a stronger class?
Yeah. Well, starting off, I'll touch on the vision pitch speeches, which, yeah, for context, was us diving deep into ourselves to think about where we've been, where we are now, and where we would like to be in a decade. And I think hearing all those different perspectives from every single one of my classmates was just so eye-opening, because that's not something that you just drop in a conversation, you know? Maybe it's like what do you want to do after you graduate? But it's not like, where did you come from? What makes you who you are? Why do you think the way you think? And I think that's just such a deep and vulnerable thing to share with someone. And I'm so, you know, astonished that everyone was willing to share that and that even I was willing to like put myself out there like that. And none of it felt unnatural, which I think was the most surprising part, because I went up there and, you know, I was nervous for my speech and I didn't really have like a speech written down. I think I had like 5 bullet points on a sticky note written down. And I was like, I don't really know what I'm trying to get across here. But just the feedback that I had received and the fact that I really felt heard by my classmates. And honestly, one of my favorite parts of that vision pitch speech was the little love notes that we did, where every classmate wrote on a note card just a couple sentences about you or your speech or anything that they wanted to say to you. And I thought that was a really meaningful time for me to even get to like jot down a few notes. I think there were so many people that I like wrote down my phone number for, because I was like, I think we should connect about this further. And Jessica was one of those people. And yeah, I'm sure she'll have her own thing to say about that. But that was also just very special. And then the last thing I want to touch on is the idea of a learning partner. I thought was very special, because of course we built those relationships with everyone, but to get to build that relationship so in depth and have, and it wasn't me just telling my learning partner, it was my learning partner helping me find out the answers that I was looking for within myself, almost like, you know, where did I come from? To me, that's a hard question to answer, because I am who I've always been. You know, I live with myself every day, so it's not like I wake up and notice drastic changes. But when I was speaking to my learning partner about things I may have experienced or lived through, or, you know, just things. Yeah. And she would be like, wow, that makes so much sense. Like, that's, you know, she just kind of helped me put the pieces together for myself, which I don't think I get the opportunity to be that open with someone very often. So that was incredibly special.
And I will say that Lauren and Stephanie, who are part of David's amazing team, put the learning partners together intentionally with people you didn't know as well, right?
Oh,
so that was now you're getting behind the scenes secrets. So I'm so delighted that that worked out. Jess, how about you? What was your experience like?
Yeah, well, definitely having our learning partners. I mean, I met Josh that way. And so Josh is a transfer student who I didn't know previously. So now it makes sense. We were paired up kind of separately. And so getting to meet him that way, I'm really appreciative of that. But also at symposium, just honestly, kind of going off of what Asha was saying with the love notes and just everyone being there for each other, I feel like you guys did a fantastic job of creating such a safe space where, because it's kind of scary to think about the future like that sometimes. And so having that safe space where you could really dig deep together and really kind of put together what your thoughts are about the future and what your wants are too and what your dreams are. And it's really cool. So thank you.
You're welcome. And Hannah actually was acknowledged for the most entertaining presentation. So could you, Hannah, just to give our listeners a little flavor, could you tell us a little bit about what you talked about in your vision pitch and what the experience was like for you?
Yeah, so I am really passionate about the golf industry because all I know and have worked in is the golf industry, more specifically country clubs and private clubs. But I have had this passion for since I was a freshman in high school, and I can actually give credit to my marketing teacher who actually inspired me to pursue hospitality in a way where she told me that I had the attitude and I had the grit to make it far in the hospitality industry alone. But I knew I didn't want to go into hotels or restaurants because it's just not my preference. But my vision pitch, I really wanted to make fun because my vision from deep down, my vision to me was to inspire more women to get into the game of golf because there's such a big missing piece and where women can be utilizing this sport more as a form of entertainment rather than something that's so scary to approach. So in order for me to get that message across, I wanted to make my vision pitch very entertaining in a way where I got to teach them how to do a simple standard grip on a golf club. And I don't know about everyone else in the room and how they felt about that necessarily, but I felt like it was simple enough to kind of take that tiny first step into getting into something that it shouldn't be as scary to these people. But I found the vision pitch especially very, I guess, knowledgeable and self-fulfilling in a way where I got to express myself and my passion both at the same time. And yeah, I thought it was really fun to just go through that experience and try to make my vision pitch as entertaining as possible because I wanted that to be my message.
And it happens that most of the people in this class, the class of 2024, are women. So, and I think the other thing about golf, I don't have the data, but I'm sure there's a lot of deals made golfing, and it's a way to have fun and get fresh air and exercise, but it's also really good for your career. So I'm all for the more women golfing. I love that mission. And I loved your presentation. As I said at the symposium, if it wasn't for golf, I wouldn't be here because my parents met on a golf course. So golf is very important to me and my family. So we're going to pivot now. One of the things that this class did with us is they generated ideas for the future of hospitality. I don't know if you can, you know, David, I was trying to think back today before this of what I thought the future of hospitality was going to be when I was a senior in undergrad. I do remember having a course in restaurant management with Dr. Chase, Professor Chase, and I was all into luxury. So I was astounded because he used to talk about how McDonald's was his favorite restaurant because it was so profitable and his kids liked it. And I do remember soon after college thinking, because I was interested in health and wellness, this was over 40 years ago. I thought, you know, by now there would be a restaurant company as big as McDonald's that would serve healthy fast food, which I don't think has happened, but that
as big as McDonald's, that's for sure.
Do you have any memories of what could you bring yourself back to that time in your own life and think what you were thinking the future of hospitality would be at that time?
I mean, for me, the future of hospitality was, I had such blinders on and I was so focused on restaurants and on fine dining that for me, it was all about how to create the best guest experience in that environment. Yeah. And what it would look like in the future. I never would have used the phrase then, center of the plate, right? Like, what's the main? What's at the center of the plate? And now the conversation around center of the plate, to your point, is so much about what's not meat or fish, or what's not, what's a vegetable protein that's at the center of the plate, and how that's going to dominate in the future. And the impact on the environment, it's just so different from where we came from.
We had very little exposure to social impact or we never even heard of global warming. That's how old we are. So it's a different world. So I'm excited to hear from the students.
If I may, just one, of course. I think that the big pivot from where we were to where this group is moving from a focus on profitability exclusively and how to get there to being profitable and having impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And your program does the best job of doing that in the world around hospitality and impact. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You are building future compassionate leaders. So I asked the students to bring, you know, one idea from the list that the class generated. So I'm curious to start a conversation here. So we generated ideas using our imagination and our knowledge about what is possible 10 years from now in hospitality. So Hannah, why don't you start this time?
Yeah, so the one idea that I found, or that I remember writing down actually, is that companies will invest in students more during undergrad, so students succeed with the company during postgrad. And I found this point pretty realistic, in my opinion, because I read a few cases where companies would sponsor certain students within a hospitality school or within a school, but they wouldn't sponsor the whole school themselves in order to get them to that point where they would want those students to work for their company. But I feel that that's going to be an up and coming trend in the future, just because it's cost efficient and you build a trust between the student during undergrad as well as the company, and you kind of find that connection. So you're better off post-grad.
Yeah. I think it's smart of hospitality companies, especially what they're facing now, to develop relationships with high schools and with colleges. The earlier, the better. You know, I really admire, back to McDonald's, which I never thought we'd talk about today, but I really think that, you know, I remember taking a tour of McDonald's when I was like in grammar school, and it was basically a recruiting you know, ploy. And, you know, by high school, you know, my brother was working for McDonald's. So I think that's a really smart strategy for hospitality companies, especially golfing resorts out there. They need to do that.
Yeah. And if I may just add one more thing, they're in hotels, speaking in specifically hotels, the hotel industry itself supports around 8 million jobs, yet we're not addressing that 82% turnover rate. So I feel like with hotel or hospitality companies coming in and kind of recruiting early during undergrad, that'll definitely help alleviate that turnover rate. And I think that's a problem, or that's a solution that might potentially address the turnover rate. But
the last time I was in hospitality was at 62%. So we're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
We have some opportunities. We have some opportunities. Thank you so much. Jess, how about you?
So basically, I know, like, I feel like there's already been a big shift in within the hospitality industry. Obviously, we're an industry of people, and so we have to look out for each other. And so really taking care of team culture and developing and building upon that. I feel like every connection or company I do talk to, like, it's all about team culture, and I so appreciate that. And even like mentorships within the company, and even like continuous training going forward as well, and how you're going to build up internally within that company. But also one thing that I find really interesting that we talked about at the during the program was actually a tipping culture and what that's going to look like in the future. That was the topic that our group discussed. And I was actually away in Japan recently for study abroad for 5 months. And over in Japan, they don't tip. And so I grew up in the UK, and in the UK, you don't really tip either. And so kind of coming to America, where tipping culture is so huge, and then having that time in Japan too, and just seeing the shift within tipping culture, I kind of think in the future there may be a shift to not really tipping as much going forward, which I don't know how that will go. It'll be interesting to see, because I mean, even though like you don't really tip in Japan, there's still such this drive for hospitality, and there's quite honestly no hospitality quite like it. So yeah, I think definitely really making sure your team, and kind of going with team culture too, making sure your team are able to have the correct wages and everyone's doing okay, but also kind of maybe leaning off the tipping culture. I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of some thoughts I have, but if anyone else wants to pop in, I'd love to hear your thoughts too.
David knows a lot about this, but I think we agree that fair wages is really a good benefit. it has a return on investment, which will be people staying. And I think the companies that are going to survive are going to have to address that. But thank you so much. Those are great points.
Just a little bit to piggyback off of that, actually. Yeah, I think, excuse me, I've had a little tickle in my throat the whole time. But yeah, definitely that people are the biggest asset in hospitality. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the whole business. Like, we're in the people business. So taking care of those people is very important. And I think companies have begun to realize that genuinely, and not just, you know, woke capitalism, which is a term I recently learned. So, you know, really caring about their employees and offering things like remote work options, which is not always an option in hospitality because we're meant to be face-to-face, but maybe doing 4-day work weeks. I recently learned of a company that has shifted to doing 4 10-hour days instead of 5 8-hour days, or just kind of being more flexible, giving those employees what they need, because then they show up a lot more motivated, is I think one big emerging trend. But the trend that I chose to focus on was more like the environmental aspect of it. I think that a lot of companies have begun to realize that a sustainable business is a business that will last for a long time. And, you know, we're not the end goal shouldn't just be to make money. It's how are you affecting the things around you, the planet, and your community. And I think there are companies out there who do the whole greenwashing thing, but I think more companies have begun to realize that that's not going to fly for much longer. And instead of maybe looking green by buying carbon credits, they will actually not just aim to not harm the environment, but actually make the environment better. I've noticed a lot of hotels and companies moving away from housekeeping every day and going to more, you know, housekeeping on request, or getting rid of their single use plastics and shampoos, or, you know, just a lot of little ways that I've seen that hotels have picked up on that. And I only see that continuing to grow.
Yeah. Well, not only are you all the future of hospitality leadership, but your generation is the future of hospitality clients and customers. So you'll be voting with your dollars, and you care more about this. So I think companies are going to have to treat people better, be involved in earlier in developing people younger, and paying them better, so that those companies that do all those things are really going to be ahead of the game. David, anything you want to say about the future of hospitality as we wrap up?
Yes, not surprised. So I just want to put a fine point on some of what's been said, and to highlight what I see as the beauty, part of the beauty of this generation, is that they are telling industry very clearly not only that they need to have a living wage, this generation does not want to manage people who aren't earning a living wage. And that's an important part of their impact. They're going to drive all of the things that have been discussed around the environment and around people, and not just with their dollars, but with how they lead. And I'm so excited by all of that.
And who they work for, right? Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It is exciting. So David, share with us how people can find out more about your school.
Gladly. So our website is https://, but you can probably skip that and it'll self-populate. Daniels, daniels.du.edu/hospitality-management. But if you want to find us, because that's really a challenge, just search Fritz Noble School. And we're the only one who can come up. And Noble is spelled K-N-O-E-B-E-L.
Lovely. I encourage our listeners and readers to do that. It's really an amazing school, and it's a place of hope for hospitality and for education. Thank you all so much for being with me. I loved being with you today, and we will be in touch. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeaderCircle.com.